It's time for Golf DMV, the podcast highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And now, here is Claude Jennings.
It's the Golf DMV podcast recording, by the way, from Blue Mash. I mean, one of our all-time favorite courses here in the DMV. Also, I think it makes all of our top five courses in this area, correct? Maybe even top three.
I think it did, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say top five for me. And a home game for LB, right?
Home game for LB. Yep. He's like, what, 10 minutes down the road or something like that?
Not even 10.
Well, yeah, not even 10. I mean, you got to drive past a lot of farmland and big houses, but eventually you'll find his big house once you drive down 108. So, yeah, Blue Mash, we're sitting out here on the patio looking out. We've got guys on the range and short game area. We're going to talk about our round here. Got a chance to play it. And by the way, if you get a chance, swing by Blue Mash. Talk, ask for Joe Hills or Kyle Girard. Joe Hills is the owner here. If you are familiar with course design, Arthur Hills, noted course designer, is Joe Hills' dad. He designed Blue Mash, also Waverly Woods, and a lot of other courses. There's a course in Columbus. I just came from Columbus, Ohio. Turnberry, that Arthur Hills designed as well. Great course designer. And so, yeah, if you come down to Blue Mash, ask for Joe Hills. Just tell him you listen to the podcast. He may not even care that you listen to this show, but just tell him.
Ask for him anyway.
Yeah, just ask for him anyway and tell him you listen to the show.
Now, Arthur Hills, isn't his claim to fame?
By the way, we're eating as well as we're doing the podcast.
Yes. If it's not like I got a mouthful.
LB, what are you eating over there? What are you eating?
I have a grilled chicken sandwich, actually, this time. Nothing fried except, well, I got french fries.
Okay. So. I got bacon, egg, and cheese over here. Go right ahead.
That's my nemesis. Is that the right word?
Nemesis. Whatever.
Yeah, whichever one.
Go ahead. You said Arthur.
Isn't he known for Lynx design? Isn't that his claim to fame?
I think so. I don't know. I'm not sure which one is, but he designed some beautiful courses across the country.
The one you played, was that a link style?
That was a link style course, so probably so, right?
Yeah. I believe that is his signature link style course. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You want Blue Mash added to, you know.
No, absolutely. So we grabbed a 6:50 tee time, Blue Mash. We'll just start from the top. I came in late. Well, not late. I mean, just 10 minutes before the tee time. I mean, and again, the last few rounds, I've been getting there early, warming up a little bit.
Right.
I'm back to early 2019, Claude, showing up just before the tee time, checking in. Ran into Kyle Girard, who was starting this morning. I think he's like assistant GM here, maybe GM here.
Okay.
We talked and chatted for a little bit. Got here. Vern, LB, Reggie, they're all on the range for the most part. Right. Were you on the range earlier?
I probably got here maybe 5 minutes before you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I wasn't.
Of course, I got here first.
By the way, LB's here with us. Vern's here with us, and then we've got Reggie here. Reggie, what do you puffing over there, man? That's a what you guys call
it? Oh, let's see the exact name of it. Let's see. This is a H. Upman's Nicaraguan brand cigar. Yeah, mild flavored. Actually, my favorite cigar. Mm-hmm. So I gave Vern one.
Yeah, he hooked me up.
As a peace offering. So yeah, I'm gonna let him smoke that, and he can tell me what he thinks about it. But I'm pretty sure he's gonna enjoy it. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Well, it tastes great off of my sandwich. I mean, the smoke is directly on the wheat bread, but it tastes great. So from what I had, good flavor, very mild to say. To say the least. So anyway, Blue Mash. It all started the day before.
Okay.
LB sends out a text message. Now, if you listen to the show, you know that we've just decided we're not playing 6K and above.
Right.
We're not going to do it.
Senior tees only.
Exactly. We're playing under 6K.
They are not really called the senior tees. They are just a set of tee boxes. They don't have a senior, junior, young man, old man. They're not labeled that way.
You see this? Okay.
Let's stop with the age discrimination.
Okay, right, I'm sorry. Exactly. No need to be defensive. Okay.
For the most part, we know them as women tees, senior tees, and then we start counting forward tees, back tees, or the tips.
Right.
We played from the greens, which today played 54 and some change.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which was perfect, right? Because this is what we said. I mean, but I get it, because 54 and 6,000, it's like, okay, that's a big jump.
That's a big gap.
Should we just play 6? We stuck to the plan, mm-hmm. and we played 6. Now, LB had mentioned during the round that he was really looking forward to coming out here.
I was hyped.
So talk about your expectations and how excited you were.
Just the expectations.
Yeah. Expectations. So, well, I had come out here on Wednesday evening.
Okay.
Had the range, basically, when I got here, it was 4 people in the range. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking short game, the driving range, and the putting. It was total of 4 people.
All to yourself.
So within an hour, half hour, they were all gone.
Okay.
So I had the entire facility to myself. So I'm chipping. You know, I'm doing anything and everything I want to do. I'm hitting out of the sand. hitting like fairway shots from the sand, you know, because you can normally can't do that because there's usually people in the way.
Right.
So I'm hitting a hybrid out of the sand. You know, I'm practicing everything, and I'm feeling pretty good about my game. My swing is feeling pretty good. I'm like, okay,
right.
I'm excited, right?
You know, we're playing from the greens.
I know we're playing from the greens. I'm looking at the scorecard. I'm like, yep. I'm already picturing the shots.
You're already counting the birdies.
Yes. I'm like, well, this hole right here, I'm not hitting drive. I'm hitting wood, and this right here, I'm doing that. You know, I got my clubs in my mind.
This, by the way, is the right thing to do. To take a look at the scorecard early. Mm-hmm. Take a look at the holes. Right. If you can go on the website, check out and see mm-hmm. what court, and then strategize before you get there to yes. figure out how you're going to play each hole before you get there.
It's yep. called due diligence.
Correct.
I did all that. So last night we had some issues. I was up kind of late because my mother-in-law right, was in the hospital
right,
or whatever.
Right,
but
right, right.
She's doing fine, thank you. So I didn't get a lot of sleep last night, but no excuses. But okay. still, even when I did get into bed, I was still hyped about the round. I
sure.
couldn't sleep on top of that.
You know Absolutely. What I mean?
So I get here today, warm up, hit a ball. I'm like, okay. I couldn't see because the sun was right in our eyes.
A lot of glare, yeah.
So I really couldn't see how with the – they could have been going – squirrely off the range, but I couldn't tell because I couldn't see.
But it felt good.
It felt good.
Okay.
It felt
right,
good.
Right.
First hole, terrible.
So let's talk.
Dot, dot, dot. 18? Now we
terrible.
Fast forward. Good.
Right.
Cool. Cut to 18. Yeah. Still, no. Still, go ahead. I'm joking.
Yeah. But seriously, when I got to 18, I've been pulling shots left and mostly left today for whatever reason. 18 hole, my best drive of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was happy with it. Second shot. Great iron shot.
Mm-hmm.
84 yards from the in the middle of the fairway, 84 yards from the green.
And it's a par 5.
Par 5.
Mm-hmm.
Easy par, right?
Yep.
Easy par.
Should be.
Should be. 84 yards, I hit my shot 130.
Yep.
And it didn't just go past the green. It went past the car path over into the other rough.
Yep.
So that was indicative of my entire day.
Yeah.
That right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah. And so, number one, let's just do a quick course review. We'll go around the table. We'll start with Vern. We'll go LB. We'll go Reggie. Your thoughts just on the course itself?
As usual, Blue Mash, excellent conditions. About what you would expect for, again, a MoCo course, even though it's not a part of the municipal system. Maintained really well. Really good conditions. I don't think I've ever come out here and had it, be bad. Greens, nice and quick, rolling fast, about what you would expect from most of the courses in this area, man. And just laid out really well, beautiful. Not too, even regardless of where you play, the link style, a little bit of forgiveness built in there. You know, you have an errant tee shot, you just hit it from mm-hmm. the other fairway, stuff like that. So, really nice. Clubhouse is open. Cart girls are already out at our, when we came around, I think maybe 8, 9 o'clock, something like that. I give it an A, man. Blue Mad, like you said, top 5 in the, what else is there to say? Top 5 right. in the area. I love it.
So, I've always spoke about Blue Mash, especially their practice area. It's the best in the area. It's best in the DMV. I haven't been anywhere in the DMV that rivals it. And this is where I come all the time to practice, although it doesn't show sometimes. But this is where I come to practice. So the course is never disappoints. It's always, I don't think I've ever played it, even after they aerated and been
right.
disappointed. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whoever's in charge of their grounds probably needs a raise, or can teach some of these other courses how to maintain a course.
Should do a workshop.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. The course is always great. I pass it probably twice a day, at least every day.
Right. Right.
Look over and say, that's 18. Oh, they got the flag up front today. So yeah, I love the course. The people are always on point. Mm-hmm.
Staff here is always nice too.
Staff is always good. Who are she just told us their names.
Gosh, Cindy was one.
And
I don't remember who the young lady was who brought the fries out.
Right. Excellent service.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah.
What's her name? I can't remember her name. Just that fast.
Yeah, I can't either.
Yeah. Damn. Gabby.
Gabby. See?
Gabby and now I forgot the one who I knew.
Cindy. Gabby and Cindy.
Yeah.
Shout them out. They did excellent service.
Mm-hmm.
She makes a hell of a drink. Hell of a Grey Goose and cranberry. So that's all I can tell you.
That's all. Now, Reggie, this was your first time playing Blue Mash. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I mean, I would like to thank the DMV Golf crew
mm-hmm.
For having me on the podcast. I've listened to the a couple of episodes of the podcast, and I really enjoyed it. I think it's great what you guys are doing. As far as I have to reiterate what you guys were saying about the quality of the course. This is my first time playing, but again, the quality of the course. I mean, the grounds were kept very well. It's very, very plush. The service here was excellent. And yeah, I mean, a very scenic course. And even though I didn't play that great on the back nine, I still had a great time. So yeah, a great experience.
And the price point too. We got to talk about the price.
Yeah, here. Here's the interesting thing. Like, I was expecting, because normally it's a lot more expensive than what we played. I think we paid 60 some odd dollars.
74. 74. We paid 74. So here's the deal. If you play, we played at, our tee time was 650. If we had played at 710, it would have been 84.
Oh.
So then it goes up from there.
And then back
it, down. Then again comes back down about, I think 11 or something, and then it starts to come back.
And let me tell you something. That's tee time right before 7. Mm-hmm. That's the one. Because we were done by 11 o'clock.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
we were that finished by 11 o'clock.
And and the other thing the Blue Mask gives you that other courses, I don't know what y'all are doing, but you got to get range balls included in that price.
Yeah. I mean, it's nothing like going to a course paying 70 bucks and all of a sudden, can I get a small bucket of balls? Oh, that's an extra $7. Right. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just give me a small little warm-up bucket. And, and the bucket here, for their warm-up buckets, it's not even as big as their small buckets. It's a smaller than their small bucket. It's a small. It's about 13 to 15 balls.
Oh, it's more than that. It's more than that.
About 20 or so?
25 balls.
Just to hit and warm up and get right. You know, so,
Included.
Yeah, exactly. Including the price. That's always a plus. For me, it wraps up in one in kind of one sentence, man. We were out on the course playing. We said, Blue Mash never disappoints. And LB said, yeah, I was just thinking to myself, how come we don't play here more? And that's what you think. You're out here like, you know what? I should come out here and play a lot more.
Yeah.
Because it's always in great condition. Yep. You always just feel, you know, just like you're at a top-notch place. And that's what it feels like.
Yeah. The other thing for Blue Mash, like I said, I think on the Falls Road episode, how Falls Road is not, if you want to play nice Milco, Montgomery County courses, and you live in PG or the south side of the Beltway, you just say, oh, that's a haul. Blue Mash, not. 45 minutes for me. I think you're in like Camp Springs there already. Yeah, for me, not too long. Right up 200 and, you know, maybe 45, 50 minutes tops.
That's right.
Yeah, quick up and down.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, let's get into this round. The first thing we got to talk about.
Do we have to?
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah, we definitely have to. So the first thing is we decided, again, to play from the greens. They play 5,400 and some change. And the first thing is, Vern and I were talking, it feels real weird driving past the blue, the gold, the blue, and the whites. And on the back nine, the green tee box, the green tees are way further up than the whites.
Mm-hmm.
And so we drove past the front nine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The back nine, they're closer to the whites.
Right.
You know, and so I didn't feel much of a chump on the back nine.
Right. Yeah, we're talking like 5 yards between the average.
Right.
Yeah.
But on that front, man, so what do you guys think about that playing closer up? Because this was like our first round really saying, okay, we're going to play closer up.
Well, this is my third now doing it. I know I played in, when I played the Brickyard, we played up front.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess what's the part that I'm having a problem with it is that I have not seen the results. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just assumed, and you know, and they say what happened when you assume that my score would go down,
right?
I just assumed that if I didn't have to hit driver on every hole,
right,
or didn't have to hit a 4-iron, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, by moving up, they take those clubs out of my bag. You know what I mean? I should be hitting wedges and a lot more 9-irons, a lot more 6-irons. You know what I mean?
Right.
The lower irons will come into play.
Yeah, the range is going to get compressed.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And from the lower end, it would get compressed.
Yes, that's what I mean.
As opposed to hitting forwards and driver and all that stuff.
Right.
And we'll talk about Brickyard in a minute. But I haven't seen the results.
Now, so.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Well, let me qualify that. I've seen the results hit and miss. They're sporadic.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Sometimes I can see a hole and say, okay, instead of me hitting driver on this hole, I'm going to hit an iron. I'm going to hit 2 irons. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that works.
Right.
You know?
So I have a thought about that. We can put a pin in it, though. We can go to you, Claude, if you want. We'll tackle your assumption about
Sure. So
up front.
Right. For me, because I'm the shortest hitter in our group, it brings back my 8-iron and 7-iron in a lot of holes. Because usually, and you guys know this, I mean, my second shots a lot of times when we play is using my 5 fairway wood or, you know, my 7 fairway
wood.
Of
which you have been smoking, I will.
Yeah, I've been hitting that. Yeah. Well, yeah. I've had to all my life because it's the only club I hit consistently because I've been having to use it every time we play because I don't hit long, you know. But when we're playing from 6K, I hit a driver and then my second club is always a fairway wood, whether it's a 5, a 3, or even a 7. But now I my second shots have been my 9-irons, 8 and 7. And so for me it feels a lot more comfortable. And so I've noticed that, but I will say this too, that off the tee box, I'm hitting the ball straighter than I've been hitting before. And so I'm in the fairway a lot more now, right, too. Right. You know what I mean? Right. But I don't think it has anything to do with distance. I think this has got to do with the fact that I was hitting the driver a little bit better.
Right. Yeah.
Which helps, you know what I mean, like being in the fairway.
So it's twofold.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah,
right.
So your clubs are getting shorter and you're in the fairway more often.
Right. Right.
Reggie, what did you think about it? It was your first time doing it, right?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I mean, my experience today, well, actually, yesterday I ended up playing Fairway Hills up in Columbia. Yep. So,
LB hates Fairway.
I hate that course. But yeah. Go ahead.
So I actually played well. I shot a 78 yesterday.
Dang,
believe
nice.
It or, yeah, believe it or not. But I came out, yeah, believe it or not. But then I came out here, and then, like I said, I
did not shoot a 78.
Yeah, exactly. I stank it up on the back nine, but it's okay. I mean, it goes to iterate the importance of kind of having that core stamina in golf. You know, people understand, you know, you have different sports, you know, with golf. Right. I mean, you got to have a certain
You got to be in golf shape.
You have to be in golf shape. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it proved that I was still somewhat fatigued. But other than that, I mean, again, like I said, I mean, it's the love-hate relationship. I mean, you know, I was cussing and beating myself up. But, you know, I'll be back out here again next week.
Because to your point, you on it today, you were plus six on the front.
Exactly.
And you
wow.
You smoke on the front.
Yeah.
And then the back, not so much. It was plus 17 on the back.
Yeah, yeah.
So he had exact round I had flipped over in Indianapolis.
Yep. And
oh,
fatigue,
wow.
Right. Fatigue set in, and then you start analyzing your mechanics of your swing and things like that. The analysis paralysis kind of set in.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
You know, but it's part of the game, though.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so circling back to LB's assumptions, right, since we've been doing this. So what you said, you assumed that you would see the results from playing up.
Yeah.
So that's incorrect. I think the correct assumption is you assumed that your 150-yard and in game is more solid than it is. That's where. So here's. Oh, so okay. I learned the other day. I told Claude. I heard a stat. I think on the Golf Channel where they said 60% of everybody's shots, I guess amateurs and pros, 60% of the shots you play are from 150 and in.
Right.
I'd never heard it. Given it, we always hear, oh, you know, short game's important. Working your short game, it'll drop strokes.
Mm-hmm.
But when I heard it as a percentage like that, I was like, huh, that's interesting. Also, I played LP yesterday with Desi. Shout out to Desiree from
Road to Par.
Yeah, she invited, and I got to play with Marcus Johnson, you know, and all those guys. It was a fun round. And because I was playing with guys I didn't know, I just played from the whites 6,000 where I usually play.
Right.
And I saw, since we were playing up at Compass Point, I saw the difference. When I moved back, I noticed, I was like, oh, if I hit a good tee shot, you start working on your, on that, well, I was keeping it staying compressed, on that game, basically from like 100, I'll say 160 in. You dial that in, you can almost play from, and if you're long enough, you can play from anywhere.
Right.
This goes to Reggie's point about, hey, I just shot 78 at Fairway Hills yesterday. I'm sure you were playing from your normal distance, and today you still put up 17 on the back.
Mm-hmm.
How is that? He was crushing drives. Well, because inside 160 yards, we're all playing the same game.
Right.
We're all playing the same game. So that goes to your point about, so instead of, like you said, I'm not taking driver, I'm not taking fairway wood as often. Sure, you take those out of the bag. Those, the other 60% of your game, though,
still
has to be solid.
But okay. But again, to continue with that same thought, though, when I come to the range, I spend the majority of my time in the short game area.
I know you do.
That has normally been the strongest part of my game.
That's
was
true.
My wedge play.
That's true. Now, why it doesn't translate, I can't help you. I don't know.
Yeah, because it did not. It did not today. I mean, I can't explain it either. Because that's normally, I'll hit 10 drives and I'll hit 60 wedges.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean?
You've been doing that.
Right.
LB works on the short game.
Because I enjoy it.
I just
And I've always thought, in my mind, in my little world, that I was good at it.
I would agree, though. I would agree, though, Claude, that it is typically the stronger part of his game.
Oh, absolutely.
And today, today, oh, my God.
It was not just a short game today. It was like all game, all
golf.
Even
when I did get close, like, again, today,
84 yards
away, it still took me another 6 shots to get the ball in the hole.
Yeah, that's my golf. That's
not my game.
It was a tough day for LB. But I'm telling you, I mean,
started on hole, like, 4, 5.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
trying to make fun of his misfortune on the course. It's just there's no one more fun to be around when the wheels come off the wagon than LB.
Right. Yeah,
like there's no one more fun to be around when he's upset at golf than LB.
You can see him suppressing his anger with this with this fervent laughter that's like you can't tell if it's real or if it's just like he's trying to hide rage.
Right, yeah. And then
that
he starts
the rage laugh. Yeah, that's what is. That is.
Then he starts cheering for everyone else to do that.
He does.
Misery loves company.
Oh my goodness! It's there's no one you want to be with on the golf course more because he's not going to throw clubs. He don't do anything ridiculous that. But he gets so frustrated. It's just it provides entertainment. And he was talking about how bad, you know. And so he was doing this whole thing about how we all stink and how we all suck. Vern and I actually think we played pretty well today.
Yeah. At the end, he did say, he said, 1, 2, 3, 4, all y'all suck. And in my mind, I'm like, well, I mean, there's degrees. There is a spectrum of sucking. I might be hitting 280. You know, nose line. I don't know what to tell you.
I feel pretty good about it. So we can see how LB feels about his game today. Reggie was the 78, then plus 6 on the front, looking all good, plus 17 on the back. Yeah. Vern, I mean, shot
83
today.
83.
What?
83.
Okay, so, my man.
I shot an 86.
Yeah. Oh!
Yeah. And so, which is my best score ever in my life. You know what I mean? I've never.
Okay. So, all right.
We feel good about golf today, Vernon.
We do.
It's funny because, and so when I went to, anything else, let's just do a quick wrap up of Blue Mash. Give it a grade and a recommendation for anybody in town, out of town, or whatever.
You A+ recommend.
Mm-hmm.
B+ recommend.
He doesn't give out A's.
I know.
Joe Hills, if you're listening, LB doesn't give out A's.
Right? I'll give it an A-.
Okay, got an A there, and you would recommend it to anybody?
Absolutely.
No, I recommend it highly. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm.
It's an A+ for me, whether you want to come out and practice, whether you want to play. Mm-hmm. And if you're from out of town, come to the DMV. You got to play Blue Mash. If you're in town and you haven't played it, come on, man. Yep. You got to get out here and play this course. So back to the plan closer up. So LB went to Brickyard.
Yep.
In Indianapolis. I played a course, Firefox, in Columbus, Ohio, and played by myself. So the day we arrived in Columbus, my wife and her cousins and stuff, you know, we had a little kind of cookout thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. I said, how long am I going to be here? Oh, for 8 hours? I'm going to go to the driving range. So I took Manny with me, and we're playing. Uh-huh. Wouldn't you know, so we're driving, we're hitting the ball and stuff like that. We go back in, he gets a Gatorade, and, you know, we're eating chips and stuff and talking to the young lady who works there. Her name is Jessie. She's got a car. She said she'll listen. She's a fifth grade teacher, mm-hmm. but she works at the course during the summer. Okay. And so we're leaving, and Manny, my six-year-old, says, Daddy, I think I like Jessie.
Uh-oh.
I was like,
oh, yeah.
Well, what do you mean? What are you talking about? He's like, I think she's really pretty. And then he says, do you think she'd want to go on a date with me? I'm like, are we dating people at six? And so, you know, as a dad, just kind of like, yeah, my man. You know what I mean? Like, I'm down with this.
You're low-key proud.
Yeah, low-key proud. And then he says, but don't tell mommy. Whatever you do, do not tell mommy.
I like that he had the awareness to do that because I figured you would do that. But he also had the awareness, hey, keep this one. Hey.
Right, it's between us. Yeah. Between us boys.
Yeah.
He said, don't tell mommy. So I was like, okay, I'm feeling good. So then I go back. So I had a tee time for 7 o'clock the next day. Mm-hmm. And people don't know anything about golf. So we're hanging out with her cousins. And there's a guy who she knows. So the cousin she runs charter schools in Akron. Mm-hmm. And so they came down to Columbus. And a guy who was a teacher in one of the schools came down with her or whatever. And they were talking. And they're like, hey, why don't you go play golf with Claude tomorrow? I'm like, mm-mm.
Come on, no.
Because, you know, he doesn't play. He doesn't have any clubs. He doesn't have any clothes. Like, she's like, hey, maybe I can just hang out. I'm like, see, you don't understand the whole thing. So I was just trying to kind of low-key say, yeah, you know, if you get up early enough, let me know, such and such. And so, you know, just for due diligence, I texted him in the morning. But he wasn't about getting up. You can tell, like, he didn't really like her asserting that either. And I didn't like it. And so we just kind of looked at each other like, yeah, we'll see if we can work it out. We just gave each other not like,
that's good.
I'm never seeing you again. Yeah, I'm never seeing you again.
Because in the move, because if he is about it, like, oh, I'm geeked up, I want to play. What you do is you get on the tee box and then text him, hey, so if you're not ready, I'm here. Oh, you're late. Oh, okay. Right. Sorry.
Right. And so we gave each other the nod. I said, okay, cool. And then right when I was about to leave the hotel, I said, hey, I'm headed up. Let me know if you're up. And he didn't respond. He responded like 3 hours later, like, hey, my bad, man. I overslept. I said, it's all good. I mean, exactly. Neither one of us wants this.
This is a subtext of, I didn't want you to play. Right. I didn't want to play nowhere.
Right, exactly. There we go. And we understood that and we were cool with it. So anyway, mm-hmm. the course itself reminded me of it was interesting. It was like kind of like Compass Point, the Northeast, where it starts out link style,
right.
And then it goes kind of park.
Okay.
And it did the same exact thing. Started out link style and then came back park. But it was a beautiful course.
Okay.
I mean, and for a 7 o'clock tee time on a Saturday, $40.
Wow.
$40.
Wow.
At Firefox, they've got the Players Club course, and they've got the Firefox course. And so they've got two 18s.
Okay.
It reminds me, like I said, of like Enterprise, and then it opens up to like Link style, kind of like Compass Point, and then it closes back.
Okay.
And so played close up, you know, I'm driving up past the tees, and it's funny because like here at Blue Mash, we were driving up to holding up a 7, and one of the rangers, this guy Dino, he says, "Hey guys, the tees box are back there." We said, "Oh no, we're playing versus, I know we're playing from the senior tees." He says, "Oh Jesus Christ, come on, girl, come on."
Yeah. Roll right past us.
Dino's not a young, you know, he's no young guy. He's like, "Come on, dude," you know, he's an older guy. He's like, "Come on, you can't be playing from back here." So that was kind of funny. But yeah, so I'm driving up, played pretty well. I played very well. I shot an 87. And I'm like, you know what? I can get used to playing up a little, you know, a little closer.
Right.
Right around hole number 10. They had this like this little shack thing, and it was called the Halfway House. And you can go in, full bar, and you can order food or whatever. They're right there at the turn. And so that was kind of a cool little touch.
Neat.
I mean, it was like literally like a small little bar and grill.
Yeah.
And
right out there on the course.
Right there on the course. Yep, called the Halfway House. Got bathrooms, you know, anything you want. It was all good.
Keep it moving.
That's dope. Absolutely. Yeah. So that was fun. So I do recommend Firefox or Foxfire, whatever the name of the course is. It's in Columbus or Grove City. Loved playing this. I recommend that if you go on to Columbus. LB, you played an actual, you know, PGA course.
Of course. Yeah. They do hold, they do have a couple tournaments there.
Mm-hmm.
They have in the past, at least. So I played the Brickyard, which is at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Hole number 7, 8, 9, and 10 are actually inside the oval of the track. So I think we did post. I'm looking at Vern. We did post a few pictures.
Yes, we did post a couple pictures. Yeah.
How did my videos? Did my videos meet your approval?
Well,
no?
we'll discuss that off air.
Okay. I think that is a no. I tried.
No, they're right. We'll work on it.
Okay. That's what the video editor is for. So
yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You need to work on that. I'm a rookie at this part, so I'm trying. So it was. I flew out to Rodney's house on Thursday afternoon, and we played Friday morning. Steve, who lives further out in Kentucky, came to Rodney's house too. So we both. Oh, shout out to Rodney! He bought a new house this few months ago. I guess now it was April. I think they moved in.
Nice,
very nice house. Made for entertaining.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be putting together some events at his house. He don't know it yet, but I'm putting together some events at his house.
Nice.
Making plans for the homies' house.
Right. Exactly. So we drove up first thing Friday morning, and we were a little late. I let him tell me what time to get up, so I did. I got up on time. Mm-hmm. He said we're gonna leave at 6:15. We left the house at 6:15 on the dot.
Okay.
You know, we heading up whatever that road is between Louisville and Indianapolis. It's a straight shot. I never realized I've taken that road before a couple of different times when we were down for the Kentucky Derby. I never really noticed or paid it because I was driving. You know how? No, you're driving. You don't pay attention to stuff.
Yeah.
This time
right.
I was in the back seat getting chauffeured, which I enjoyed. but I got to see the landscaping.
Right.
Flat. Not a hill to be seen between Louisville and Indianapolis.
Nice.
Just flat. And it's been raining there a lot, too. So you can see all the farms, and they were flooded.
Oh, really?
It was just so much rain that they've been having up there. So long and short of it, we stop at a Cracker Barrel to eat.
Right.
I look at the watch. I'm watching like on my phone. And like, I'm like, dude, we're not going to make it. You know, we're going to be late.
Right.
So I called, and they were like, oh, no problem. We'll move you back an hour. So
right.
I'm like, cool. So we get there. We pull up. The guy meets us in the cart in the parking lot with a cart. There you go. Here's a cart. You can load up. He comes back, gets another cart. So it was good service.
Right. Nice.
We go inside. I talk to the guy who I talked to on the phone about changing the time.
Right.
He was at the desk. And I say, hey, you know, I'm with Golf DMV podcast. And hand him a cart. He looks at it and goes, yeah, okay. It pushes it to the side.
Cool story, bro.
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly. So we get some range and we go out. I go to Rodney and Steve. I said, Steve, where are we heading from? We're going to hit from the front, which is their front, the same as today, the green tees is 5590, and they had the white tees at 6000.
Okay.
Right? So I look at Rodney and I look at Steve. I said, I'm fine with hitting from the front. And then they was like, I don't know. Maybe we should just hit from the whites. And I'm like, okay.
Okay.
Fine. Mm-hmm. So the Ranger guy, he had left, right? When we get to the tee box, he comes back to watch us tee off, right?
Oh, no.
Right.
Oh, no.
The pressure builds. So I think Rodney was first. He hit his about, I don't know, 100 yards.
I think we should play from the whites.
So then Steve hits his. And Steve normally, it's been a while since a couple of years since I played with Steve. And he normally is a pretty decent golfer.
Right.
But he's had some knee issues and stuff too going on. So he hit his. This probably went 180.
Okay. All right.
Right.
Straight so, though, right?
He was. No. Neither one of them was in the fairway.
Okay.
So I hit mine 200 and something in the fairway.
Right.
So I'm like, okay.
If this is what y'all want to do to yourselves,
right,
you fine.
Right. So the longest short of
did they listen to the Glendale episode of Golf DMP?
Well, Rodney has been playing up, so I don't know why we started 6,000. Oh, I'll tell you what it was.
Okay.
We couldn't find the green tees. And this one, I went up there, all I could see was the red.
Right.
Which was, quote unquote, the women's tee. And I'm putting it in air quotes because it's really not women and men's.
Right.
But
right. We're all the same.
Right.
Just a skill thing.
Exactly.
So the women's tees.
The women's tees. Right. So. So the way they do it is there is they'll have we normally have the two little markers, so one would be red and one would be green.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so all I saw was the red. I'm like, I don't see a green.
So they were
tea.
Combining them,
right? Yeah. So then sometimes it'd be the green tee would be with the white,
right?
Sometimes it would be with the red,
right?
Okay.
So that's how you,
which is kind of how they did us today, right?
Sweet, yeah.
Well, no, today we had separate.
No, right. We did, but I'm saying like sometimes we were closer
to the red, sometimes closer to the white. Well, yeah, same theory, yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so that's why the first hole. I didn't see it. I'm like, well, there are no green. We got hit from the whites.
Okay.
So we did. By the third hole, after we've been spraying the ball around and stuff, I'm like, we need to go up to the front.
Yeah, like, what are we doing here?
Greens. And by that third hole, I could see the green tee marker. Then I noticed what they were doing. I figured out the scheme there. Right. So I was like, okay, we can hit from the green. So the rest of the round, we played from the green.
Okay.
So my score, which now I have to say because I was excited about it. we played from the whites the first two holes. I was bogey, double bogey from the whites.
Okay.
And then I went five pars in a row
from the
green tees. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling pretty good about myself.
Yeah, you should be.
So I finished out with two bogeys. So I finished the front at 41.
Nice. We're down with that.
Exactly. Yep. I'm happy. So when we make the turn and Rodney started looking at the scorecard, I said, hey, don't talk about it. Let's just keep playing.
Vern feels the same way. Right. It's like, I'm not going to check. I'm just going to keep.
Let's just keep playing. Yeah. I don't want to get in my head. You know, let's just keep moving. So when we make their turn, to Claude's point, they have a thing called the pit stop.
Okay.
Which is another, because 7, 8, 9, and 10 are inside the track.
Right.
They have their own little house. Same thing that Claude was saying when they had this thing where he played.
Right, like a racetrack theme type deal.
But it's called the pit stop.
Gotcha.
It's a lady in there by herself. They have full bar, all the food and stuff. You could just go in and grab something and keep it moving. So we go in, I get some chips, and we're talking. She's chatting me up. We're talking about it. I said, yeah. She said, well, how are you playing? I said, I really don't want to talk about it, but I just had the best 9 holes in my life.
Okay.
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
I'm playing
right.
Great.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't get in my head. It, the best I've ever played in history.
Right. Yeah. But it was the best 9 holes of my life.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So then I go out there on 10, I did okay. I got a bogey. Because I went a little bit wayward on my tee shot. Long and short of it, I did have a birdie on the back. But at the end of that, he was still plus 17.
Oh.
Oof.
Right.
Tough.
I cannot put 9 holes and 9 holes together.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
tough. I just can't do it.
Right.
I just can't do it.
That's extremely tough.
But so a little bit about the course. That's enough of my shenanigans or whatever. So because of all the rain, they've had, you know, tornadoes and stuff up that way, too. Torrential rain.
Right.
So it was car path only. So that sucked off the brake.
Okay.
And the course wasn't like sloppy wet, but some parts are wet,
right.
You know, sloppy, and some other parts are fine.
Right.
So that's what it was. The one thing was too that was the tee boxes were very small.
Okay.
Okay.
Compared to today, they were like half the size of a Blue Match tee.
Oh,
wow.
I mean,
that's real
small.
Tight.
I mean, like 8x8 type.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, very, very small. In good condition, but they were just noticeably small.
Oh, okay.
There were no ball cleaners anywhere on the course. You know, there was none on the cart. There was none on the at the holes, nothing like that, which was a little weird.
Yes. For a PGA course.
Right. Yeah. But all in all, I mean, it's a nice, I thought the layout was nice.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to add some slight elevation changes, some plateau greens.
Oh, yeah.
They had a few of those.
Yeah,
like
nice.
Number 9, the first hole you play is a par 3, you play inside the track. That's where I took that video from, with the cars going around.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big plateau green, like at Lake Presidential number 11.
12, yeah.
12. Yep. How it sits way up. Yep. Yeah, it reminded me so much of that.
Oh, you mean hole. No. Oh, you mean one where the green is up.
Yeah, the green
is
sitting
up. Yeah, that is hole 11. Yep, yeah. Right. And if you
miss it,
if you play games,
down.
It's rolling down.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yep, yeah. I end up parring that hole, which is unbelievable. But nice layout. The people were cool for the most part. The starter was a little grumpy old man, but here's what it is. It was $110. That's another thing too about it.
Okay.
It was $110. And I did not, while it was a nice course, you know, it's $110 because it's at Indianapolis racetrack.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's why it's $110.
It's not a $110 course.
It's a destination.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. Right. Exactly. I took some pictures. We'll post some of the ones that are from inside, like inside the clubhouse. They got a bunch of race paraphernalia and
they're on IG.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah,
them up already?
Yeah, they're on IG.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay. So it was nice and everything, but it wasn't, in my opinion, it was not a $110 golf course, you know. But again, it was inside the track. So what I really was hoping would happen is that somebody would be there, like, testing. An Indy car would be testing.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Or a NASCAR would be doing some testing that day while we were there, going around while we were playing.
Right.
But they were having what they call a Gold Cup. Is they basically, if you own a Corvette, you could come up there and they have a big Corvette event.
Oh, just and ride
they,
around?
Yeah, I'm sure you race. Pay some kind of money.
Yeah.
They wouldn't race.
Oh.
They had a pace car that would let you, the guys in the Corvettes would be behind a pace car and they would go around the track.
And they let you open it up and go?
Well, I don't think they even let him open it up because from what I saw.
Oh, that's the point of the pace car, right?
Right.
Yeah.
He kept them down. I don't think they got three bills.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I would have been pissed.
Yeah, what's the point of that? I do that on 50.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying.
Don't do that on my motorcycle. Come on, man.
Shout out to the state.
But that was the only. I really wanted to see some cars going around the track at speed, as opposed to these guys. You know, just like like me and you with a Corvette going around doing 80 miles an hour.
Yeah,
who wants to see that?
Who wants to see that? Yeah, that ain't fun. That ain't fun.
But from their perspective, they were on the track.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, I'm sure it's worth something. But all in all, it was a. Okay, so back up a little bit more. So we were going to play. I had planned on coming back on Sunday.
Right.
Because we were going to play Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
Saturday night, it rained so hard and thundered and lightning so much that I called Southwest, looked at my app and said, Southwest, you got a flight going home? Because I check my weather at home. It's sunny, 85 degrees.
Like, yeah, I'm done with this.
I'm like, I'm out of here, man. I'm going home. I love you, Rodney, but I'm going home.
And you made it back safely.
And I came back
hang
home.
Out with us at Blue Master today.
Yep.
Man, that's awesome. So, well, look, y'all, that's it for this week on Golf DMV, man. Again, Blue Mash, recommended by the whole Golf DMV crew, came out here, and in the words of Dennis Green, it is what we thought it was. It's Blue Mash.
It's a
great course to come out. Reggie is great playing with you. By the way, Reggie's company, Simplexity Solutions. Reggie, tell us a little bit about your company, man, before we go.
I am the founder and president of Simplexity Solutions, founded in 2016. We specialize in information technology and managed services consulting. We currently have consulting presences right now with the U.S. Agency of Global Media and the Department of Labor. So right now, and I'm just grinding and trying to build a business. We're also 8A and service disabled veteran owned as well. That's what I'm doing. I'm just trying to get into the business realm and the government contracting realm, and you know, being able to promote the business and coming out and spending time with you guys. I mean, it's been special today.
Nice. Right. Keep doing your thing. So more information on the company, where can people go?
You can go to simplexitysolutions.tech.
Nice. Right.
About to say. Oh, no, I was just going to say, good luck to Reggie. Hope you break the government's pockets. Okay. Get all the money.
That's the plan. I'm just saying. That's the plan.
Exactly.
And fill my pockets.
Yeah, let's have this government make Reggie's pockets great again.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That's
let's do that. All right, y'all. So we're going to play golf on the 4th. We don't know where.
Right.
And I think we're going to play next weekend with Reggie. I think we're playing LP, right?
Yeah, we're playing LP either Saturday or Sunday.
We're going to make it work. Okay. But until then, folks. Oh, and we have some big stuff coming up. I cannot talk about it yet, but Golf DMV has got some big announcements on the way.
Yes.
It's got to lock it in first.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned, but we'll lock it in. All right, folks.
I wish you guys nothing but best. The ceiling is the roof.